This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words for love that have been spoken. These truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
We are continuing our excursion through what the Hebrews call the Book of the Twelve, and Dr. Wyatt will relate Micah's special message. Who is a God like thee?
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading is from Micah, a remarkable little book, and we should embrace his message, that despite what may appear, what is happening, there is nothing like our God. Do stay tuned.
Hear, you peoples, all of you. Hearken, O earth, and all that is in it. And let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will be cleft, like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what is the sin of the house of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised up above the hills, and people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Who is a God like thee, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? Does he not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love? He will again have passion upon us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Thou wilt cast out all our sins into the depths of the sea.
Thank you, Sharon, very much. Again, I have had Sharon read various passages from one of the so-called minor prophets, this time Micah. His name is an abbreviation of the Hebrew words that mean, Who is like Yahweh? The book begins with a brief heading that says it all. The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Asa, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. The word came to him as a dynamic and powerful insight. We also know when this happened. In the latter half of the 8th century before Christ, during the reign of these three Judean kings. The kings of the northern kingdom of Israel will not be mentioned, as Micah saw them as illegitimate, unanointed, lacking any prophetic word or calling. The book is seen as a gathering of prophetic messages that obviously were delivered at various times, yet from the same hand, often rugged, angry, and also rising to lofty heights of truly prophetic insight. Of course, there is much critical speculation, casting doubts on almost everything in this book. But this book is consistently Jewish at the time of the early Assyrian invasion. And the editorial opening and the statement later of, Then I said, leads one to the obvious conclusion that Micah himself edited his own book. The oracles are directed against both Israel, which he identifies as Samaria, and Judah as Jerusalem, and he calls upon them all to hear the evidence against them. Hearken, O earth, and all that is in it, and let the Lord God be a witness against you. Unquote. It is the Lord himself that will provide the evidence. Yes, the Lord will come, and the mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will be crushed like wax before that fire. All this for the transgressions of Jacob, for the sins of the house of Israel. And what is the sins of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what is the sin of the house of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? Unquote. You hear the pounding cadence. Yes, the prophetic denunciation is harsh, and so is the judgment. I will make Samaria a heap in open country. I will throw her stones down in the valley and lay bare her foundations. Unquote. But this does not please Micah. Unlike many preachers I have heard over these many years, who seem to relish, even delight, in the destruction of unbelievers, in their pending eternal torment, Micah, however, does not. For this, Micah says, I will lament and wail. I will go stripped and naked. Unquote. Micah, we see, weeps along with God. But again we hear woe upon those who devise wickedness. They covet houses and fields, and they seize them. And as a result, they will face a galling exile. That is why we find to Micah, to not preach is to not prophesy. It is the false prophets who will be silenced. In a favorite line of mine, Micah describes these prophets as those who go about uttering wind and lies, saying, I will preach to you of wine and strong drink. Such should be the prophets to this people. Unquote. Yet despite all this, God declares, surely I will gather all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the remnant of Israel, like a sheep in a fold, like a flock in its pasture. Unquote. Note the familiar duplicated couplets of Hebrew poetry. And here is again the shepherd king, one who to this remnant will deliver Israel. Always Micah will follow the accusations with judgment, but will also follow with a word of hope, always hope. Hear this, you leaders of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all fairness, provide judgment for a bribe, and a priest teaches for money. Its prophets give oracles for silver. Still they say they lean upon the Lord. Is not the Lord in our midst? So no evil can come upon us. But therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins. Unquote. And immediately following that, Micah will speak of the latter days, when the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be the highest mountain, and all people shall flow to it. Nations shall say, Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways, and we may walk in his path. Unquote. This is, as has been said, a breathtaking shift. Micah has moved from the total destruction of Jerusalem, a heap of ruin, to a new Jerusalem, rising above the mountains, drawing a vast throng from many nations to herself. And here the Lord will teach. There will be none who teach for their own selfish purposes. Micah would say we are to avoid those who prostitute their ministries, to line their pockets, provide a corrupt theological rationale for all that they do. Have things really changed that much? Preachers steal, concoct bizarre claims to take your money, and priests do the unspeakable, and some actually would excuse it. Nor is it much of a stretch to see this all consummated in the vision of John of the heavenly city of Jerusalem coming down from heaven, and as well the true peace and security that all people should seek, which is not in some imagined utopia, but lies now in all who will come to the heavenly Mount Zion, the Church of God. Yet there will come a time as Micah rises to great heights that God will decide for strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, and nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid." Unquote. There will be a time when the hearts of men are changed and peace prevails, when the lame are made strong, those cast off a strong nation, and the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time forth and forevermore. Unquote. The time Micah sees is distant, when the great shepherd of the flock ascends to his heavenly throne with its myriad of angels, and of this the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And with his people, this shepherd will always be. Micah sees the present suffering as not merely a present judgment, but like a woman in travail. This opens the door of rescue, redemption, and so much more. And that which is so much more is what Micah relates next in the promise that the once and future ruler, that great shepherd, Micah, you will find, avoids the word king, as he saw them generally as corrupt. Judah's present king will be humiliated. Yet, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are small among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel. As David was the least of Jesse's sons, so too is Bethlehem. Yet here is the promise of God's vindication. The smallest becomes preeminent. Always he delights to lift the insignificant, the least, the despised things of this world to bring shame to the wise and strong, so that we cannot boast in ourselves, but only in the Lord God. Micah will link this prophecy with his next, with the words, "And it will be." This new ruler will expand the kingdom among the nations through his remnant. This remnant will be a presence throughout all nations. Like dew or showers, it is everywhere. Or in another sense, like a lion. That is, the remnant will be to some refreshment, salvation, and to others destruction, the revelation of doom. This too has found its fulfillment in what is the expanse of the Christian church. And that the earth, the nations, or their people are either on the path of salvation or to destruction. Christianity is the fragrance of life or the aroma of death. So has been our vocation, our discipleship. The final oracle that Micah here adds is that the Lord will protect his kingdom and do it first by purging it from within, that there will be no reason for God's wrath, for he will cut off your images, cut off your military might, your sorcerers, and you shall bow down no longer to the works of your hand, unquote. He will execute vengeance on the nations that do not obey, all to strengthen believing Israel. Because of the Lord's powerful intervention, Israel will learn to trust God, and her enemies are angered. First, when the Assyrian emperor and his army is ravished by a plague, and a greater fulfillment in the Messiah's kingdom. The victory comes at God's hand. We are to understand that we are empty in ourselves of what can help us. It is only God. Micah now, for one last time, expresses the complaint of the Lord. "What have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. I brought you out of Egypt, redeemed you out of your bonds." And he will then list other saving acts. Micah then responds, "Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, with rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, for the sins of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. What the Lord requires is to do justice and to love mercy and walk humbly with your God." Unquote. What fault could any find in God after all that he has done for them, and with what little he desires? Here is the pinnacle of Old Testament faith and the high mark of God's revelation to Micah. Still they speak lies and are full of violence, a tongue of deceit, and I have made you sick in smiting you and making you distant because of your sin. You shall eat and not be satisfied. What you save, I will give to the sword. You shall sow and not reap. You shall tread grapes, but not drink the wine. Instead, you have walked in the counsel of Omri and Ahab, the corrupt old kings of Samaria. Again, we hear the prophetic words of destruction on Judah and her people. Exile is their future in a strange land. The godly, Micah says, have perished from the earth. There is none upright among men. They lie in wait for blood. The prince and the judge ask for bribes, and the powerful utter the evil desires of their soul, unquote. So the prophet once more prays for those the Lord led out of Egypt against such great odds, that he will once more be a miraculous shepherd to his people, the flock of his inheritance, unquote. The Lord responds as Micah records it, I will show them marvelous things. Micah's hymn reaches its closing climax. They shall turn in dread to God. They shall turn in fear because of thee. Who is a God like thee, pardoning iniquity, passing over transgression? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion upon us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Thou wilt cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Thou hast sworn so from days of old, unquote. He is the God of wonders, showing unfailing love, that agape. There is the question, who is a God like thee? Who asks so little, accepts even less? Who is like he who throws our sins into the depths of the sea? Micah has seen a day in which the Lord's shepherd, the one who is to be ruler in Israel, shall extend his domain to the ends of the earth. He will do wonders, and greatest is that he will have compassion, throwing our sins far from us. So we must ask, as did Micah, with the same understanding and appreciation, just who is a God like thee? Lord, let us ever appreciate your love, your compassion. Lord, we bask in the truth that is the revelation of your redemption, in that good shepherd who shall remove all sin, who shall ascend the throne of David and make all things right once more. For indeed, your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, and it will be for thy glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Micah's message is simple. Who is a God like thee? There is but one answer. No one. He is the only God. There are none beside him, and nothing else is worthy of worship. To add to this important message, Thomas is offering this week a copy of his study titled, Who is God? Of course, there is nothing written that could possibly exhaust the nature, attributes, and the truth that is God. But here Thomas provides the biblical revelations that have unveiled what we need to know of his nature and purpose for his people. It is a wonderful study, so do write and ask for Who is God? It can be yours at no charge. Dear ones, there are hardly words enough to tell you just how much we appreciate all of you who support this ministry, with your prayers and, yes, your kind gifts. And to those of you who are not yet a part of the Wings of Healing family, we pray that you will seriously consider being one of those dear ones who have chosen to see to it that we are able to proclaim the Word of God throughout the world and come to you each week on your wonderful radio station. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. The language used here is remarkable, and I do encourage all who are listening to continue to do so for the next few weeks. For this foyer into these 12 servants of God relate an oh-so-relevant message and what we need to hear more often. As Elsa of Montana writes, "Dr. Wyatt, I so enjoy your radio programs. The messages are always informative, eye-opening, and even challenging. I wish to ask for your book, Who is God?, offered recently." Well, Elsa, we are offering it again this week. It is a simple declaration of what our scriptures do reveal of the nature and attributes of our God. Certainly no effort can ever exhaust the fullness that is God, but what our Bible does reveal is very helpful. Dennis will give our addresses once more, but now Michael Card performs one of his new popular praise songs, El Shaddai. And until next week, know there is nothing, nothing like our God.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erechim Kana Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the ram, you saved the son of Abraham, and by the power of your hand, turned the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees, and by your might, you set your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erechim Kana Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erechim Kana Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and this week Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his book, Who is God? This provides a readable look at the biblical revelation that has unveiled what we need to know of God's nature, attributes, and purpose for His people. You will want this study, so do write and ask for Who is God? It can be yours at no charge.
Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.